In today's news headlines, the second and final presidential debate of 2020 took place Thursday night in Nashville, Tennessee, and was markedly different from the first one in late September. The Commission on Presidential Debates had changed the rules to mute the microphones of President Donald Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden while the other was giving their main answer to questions. Mr. Trump, who was widely castigated after his first debate performance for raging uncontrollably and continuously interrupting Biden and the moderator, changed his behavior during the second debate. However, the deception that the president has made a hallmark of his tenure remained at high levels. Fact checkers found that Trump spewed the most lies of the night by far. The New York Times summarized it this way, quote, Mr. Trump unleashed an unrelenting series of false, misleading, and exaggerated statements as he sought to distort Mr. Biden's record and positions and boost his own re-election hopes. The president once again relied heavily on well-worn talking points that have long been shown to be false. Among the numerous issues discussed at the debate was the coronavirus pandemic, which so far has claimed more than 220,000 American lives.
To close down, he'll close down the country if one person in our massive bureaucracy says we should close it down.
Vice President Biden, your
simply
response.
Not true. We ought to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We ought to be able to safely open. But would they need resources to open? You need to be able to, for example, if you're going to open a business, have social distancing within the business. You need to have, if you have a restaurant, you need to have plexiglass dividers so people cannot infect one another. You need to be in a position where you can take testing rapidly and know whether a person is, in fact, infected. You need to be able to trace. You need to be able to provide all the resources that are needed to do this. And that is not inconsistent with saying that what we're going to make sure that we can open safely.
That's former Vice President Joe Biden responding to President Trump during Thursday night's debate about what he would do to tackle the pandemic. Immigration was also a hot topic at the debate, and the immigrant family separations that Trump's government adopted as a deterrent was under scrutiny. Trump claimed that the majority of children separated from their parents were brought by coyotes or traffickers and not by their own parents, even though it's been well documented that separating children from parents was a deliberate policy. Mr. Biden took Trump to task on the issue.
Let's talk about what we're talking about. What happened? Parents were ripped, their kids were ripped from their arms and separated. And now they cannot find over 500 of sets of those parents, and those kids are alone. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. It's criminal. It's criminal.
Arguably, the most shocking line of the night came from Trump, who claimed that most immigrants do not reappear for their court hearings, except those with the, quote, lowest IQ.
Only the really, I hate to say this, but those with the lowest IQ, they might come back.
Okay, President Trump, let's give Vice President.
The issue of race and policing was also front and center, with Mr. Trump claiming, contrary to all evidence, that he had done more for the black community than any other president, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, and that he was the least racist person in the room.
Nobody has done more for the black community than Donald Trump. And if you look, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, possible exception, but the exception of Abraham Lincoln, nobody has done what I've done.
That's President Trump at Thursday night's debate. Among Biden's responses was a reminder that Trump had been one of the loudest champions of the death penalty for the Central Park Five, a group of falsely accused African-American teens.
This is a guy who, in the Central Park Five innocent black kids, he continued to push for making sure that they got the death penalty. None of them were guilty of the crimes they were suggested.
Also discussed during the debate was climate change, health care, Trump's taxes, the minimum wage, and more. A CNN poll of viewers and undecided voters concluded that Biden won the debate, while observers pointed out that Trump's wild and deceptive claims had strong echoes of Fox News talking points, in a way that most people who don't consume right-wing news may have been alienated by. As Election Day nears, a record-shattering 50 million voters have already cast their ballots in early voting states. But Trump and Biden are both setting up legal teams in case there is a contested vote. The Trump re-election campaign, however, has far less money on hand than Biden's campaign. Still, the president apparently has enough funding to secretly videotape voters dropping off ballots at drop boxes in Philadelphia, which Pennsylvania's attorney general says amounts to illegal voter intimidation. As the battle over mail-in voting continues, a federal judge has just ruled that the U.S. Postal Service needs to reinstall the high-volume mail-sorting machines that Trump loyalist and Postmaster General Louis DeJoy decommissioned. Foreign interference is also expected to play a role, as U.S. intelligence officials point the finger at both Iran and Russia, but warn that Russia is the far bigger threat. And at least one plan for violence has been thwarted. Federal officials just arrested a 19-year-old white man who was planning on assassinating Biden and had in his possession a van full of weapons and ammunition. Coronavirus infections continue to rise in the United States, with the second highest daily total being reported on Thursday since the pandemic began. More than 75,000 new cases were documented, just 2,000 shy of the highest total reported in July. Hospitals across the U.S. are dangerously reaching capacity. The states of Utah, Montana, and Wyoming that had been relatively quiet on the virus front are now emerging as new national hotspots for the disease. Health officials are citing resistance to mask wearing as the culprit. A letter signed by 130 Democratic lawmakers and led by Senator Elizabeth Warren and Representative Ro Khanna urged the federal government to take action. In the letter are five clearly articulated steps that the signatories outline, including ramping medical supply chains, ramping up public health jobs, tackling the systemic racism that leads to Black and brown Americans having worse health outcomes, and long-term environmental solutions to prevent future pandemics. The city of New York has launched a lawsuit against the federal government's labeling of it as an anarchist jurisdiction, saying the move will cost the local government billions. Trump last month asked the Justice Department, in a shocking and unprecedented move, to withhold federal funds from the cities of New York, Portland, and Seattle, because according to him, they have allowed, quote, themselves to deteriorate into lawless zones. 19 women were found to have been medically abused in a privately run Georgia immigrant detention center. The Los Angeles Times obtained a report written by numerous gynecologists and nursing experts at academic institutions who reviewed thousands of pages of medical records and concluded that abuse took place in the form of overly aggressive or medically unnecessary procedures without the consent of the women, including depriving some of them of their ability to have children. The Attorney General of Massachusetts, Mara Healey, published an op-ed in the Washington Post on Friday, accusing the Justice Department of letting one of the world's wealthiest families off the hook in a major case around the opioid epidemic. Ms. Healey wrote, quote, "The Justice Department cut a deal on Wednesday with the Sackler family, the billionaire owners of Purdue Pharma, who are accused by my office and others of causing much of the opioid epidemic through their illegal marketing of OxyContin. Selling opioids made the Sacklers one of the richest families in the world, with a fortune reported at $13 billion beyond the value of Purdue. But the Justice Department decided to let the Sacklers pay $225 million and walk away." And that does it for our news headlines.